Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting collision of legal worlds. The 2010 case of U.S. Airways Inc. v. O'Donnell. Think of it as, well, when federal aviation regulations and New Mexico's liquor laws kind of went head to head.
Right, yeah. What happens when those sky-high rules meet state-level authority on the ground?
Exactly. Let's find out.
So, the central question here is really whether a state like New Mexico can enforce its liquor laws on airlines operating, you know, within its borders, or if federal law just has the ultimate authority in this arena.
So the backdrop here is a really unfortunate incident in 2006 in New Mexico. A passenger who had been drinking on a U.S. Airways flight was involved in a fatal car crash. New Mexico understandably took a close look at this, and their response was to cite U.S. Airways for violating the New Mexico Liquor Control Act, or NMLCA.
Okay.
Their argument was basically that the airline didn't have a state liquor license and that their crew lacked, well, proper training related to serving alcohol.
Right. So this is a pretty clear instance of a state exercising its power, you know, to regulate alcohol within its borders. Makes sense on the surface.
Totally. However, U.S. Airways didn't just accept this. They countered by arguing that federal law preempted or, you know, took precedence over these state regulations.
They essentially said, look, we operate under federal aviation rules and those should govern here.
This legal battle then made its way through the courts. Initially, the district court actually sided with New Mexico, upholding the state's right to apply its liquor laws.
No, interesting.
But the story didn't end there. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals stepped in and reversed that decision.
Oh, okay.
So we have this interesting legal back and forth and a crucial question. Who ultimately gets to regulate the service of alcohol on flights thousands of feet above New Mexico?
Precisely. And this brings us to the core legal conflict, federal preemption. Now, for those of you who might be encountering this concept for the first time, federal preemption simply means that in certain areas, federal law can override state law.
Right. It comes from the Supremacy Clause.
Exactly. In the Constitution. In this case, we're looking at two key federal laws. The Airline Deregulation Act, or ADA.
Which was about fares and routes, mostly.
Right. Less government control there. And the Federal Aviation Act, or FAA, which is really about establishing comprehensive safety regulations for air travel.
Okay. Let's unpack the 10th Circuit's reasoning then. They really focused on the FAA, specifically on what's known as implied field preemption. What exactly does that involve?
So implied field preemption, it occurs when federal regulation in a particular area is just so thorough, so pervasive, that it basically leaves no room for state laws to add to it or contradict it.
Okay.
The idea is that by enacting such extensive regulations, Congress implicitly intended to exclusively govern that entire field. Like they covered all the bases.
So in this situation, the 10th Circuit essentially reasoned, look, the FAA's regulations concerning aviation safety are incredibly comprehensive, covering everything from how planes are maintained to the procedures flight crews must follow. This area is essentially a federal domain. And they argued that this federal domain includes how alcohol is served on flights and the training of the people serving it.
Exactly. The court's reasoning was significantly driven by the need for national uniformity in aviation safety. I mean, imagine the logistical nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And potential safety hazards. If every single state had its own unique set of rules for how airlines could serve alcohol and how flight attendants had to be trained.
Right.
You could have drastically different standards from one state to the next, creating just immense complexity and potentially compromising safety.
It really paints a picture of utter chaos, doesn't it? You could be flying across state lines and suddenly the rules about alcohol service change mid-flight. It really underscores why having a consistent federal approach makes a lot of sense in this industry.
Definitely.
Now, you mentioned the ADA earlier. It's interesting that the 10th Circuit didn't actually base their decision on the ADA's express preemption clause. Why do you think that was?
That's a very insightful point.
Yeah.
The ADA does have a specific clause that explicitly preempts state laws relating to a price, route, or service of an air carrier.
An alcohol service seems like a service, right?
You could certainly argue that, yeah. But the 10th Circuit likely found the implied field preemption argument under the FAA to be a more direct and, frankly, compelling path to their conclusion about federal authority in aviation safety. The FAA's historically established and comprehensive role in regulating aviation safety provided, you know, a clearer foundation for asserting federal dominance in this particular issue concerning passenger safety and crew training. It fit better.
Okay, so federal law seems to have a pretty strong position here, but New Mexico had its own significant argument to make, didn't it? This centers around the 21st Amendment. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. The 21st Amendment, which, you know, famously repealed prohibition, grants states very broad authority to regulate the sale and distribution of alcohol within their own borders.
Right, a core state power.
It really is.
Yeah.
And New Mexico argued that its right to regulate alcohol within the state, even on airplanes flying above it, should take precedence over federal aviation law in this specific case, especially given the tragic consequences of alcohol consumption in that car crash.
So New Mexico was essentially asserting, hey, we have a constitutional right to control alcohol within our territory, and that right should extend to airlines operating here, particularly when incidents like this fatal crash occur, demonstrating a potential link between in-flight alcohol service and public safety within our state. How did the Tenth Circuit respond to this rather powerful argument?
Well, the court definitely acknowledged the significant role of the 21st Amendment and the state's traditional authority over alcohol regulation. They weren't dismissing it.
Okay.
However, they also emphasized a fundamental principle within our legal framework. Even the substantial powers granted to states under the Constitution are not absolute. They can be limited by federal supremacy, especially when there's a clear conflict with federal law in an area of significant national interest, like, say, aviation safety.
And this is where the legal process took another interesting turn, right? The Tenth Circuit didn't just definitively declare that federal law automatically wins. Instead, they made the decision to send the case back down to the district court.
That's right.
What was the rationale behind this remand?
The primary reason for the remand was to conduct a balancing test. The Tenth Circuit essentially said, look, we recognize the strong federal interest in maintaining uniform aviation safety standards nationwide, but we also need to give due consideration to the state of New Mexico's legitimate interest in regulating alcohol under the 21st Amendment.
Mm.
Therefore, they instructed the lower court to carefully weigh these competing interests against each other. It wasn't a simple yes or no.
That sounds like a very nuanced and fact-specific approach.
Mm.
So what kind of factors do you think the district court was expected to consider in this balancing act? Like maybe the actual impact of New Mexico's specific rules versus the federal ones?
Exactly. While the Tenth Circuit didn't provide like an exhaustive checklist, the implication was that the district court needed to assess the strength of New Mexico's interest in regulating airline alcohol service in this particular manner by requiring state licenses and specific training protocols.
Okay.
And then weigh that against the potential burden on and impact to the federal interest in maintaining a uniform and safe national airspace.
So things like practical difficulties for airlines, maybe complying with 50 different rules.
Precisely. And the potential effects on passenger safety if training standards really did vary all over the country.
And the Tenth Circuit even included a pretty significant quote in their decision, didn't they? Something that really encapsulated this idea of the state's power potentially yielding to federal interests.
Exactly right. The quote was, "The state's core powers under the 21st Amendment may still yield to federal interests." This really captures the court's understanding that while the 21st Amendment grants significant authority to states over alcohol, it's not like an impenetrable barrier against all federal law, particularly in areas of overriding national concern like the safety and efficiency of air travel.
So bringing all of this together, why does this particular case really matter for someone trying to understand the legal landscape? What are the key takeaways that we should be keeping in mind?
There are several crucial lessons here, I think. Firstly, this case strongly reinforces the principle of federal dominance when it comes to regulating aviation safety.
Okay.
This is an area where courts will generally favor a uniform national standard to ensure the highest levels of safety across the board. Makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Secondly, it clearly demonstrates that even a state's traditional and constitutionally recognized power to regulate alcohol under the 21st Amendment has its limits, especially when it directly conflicts with a significant federal interest.
And for law students, particularly those studying federalism or administrative law, this case serves as a really practical example of several key legal concepts in action, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
We see implied field preemption at work, mm-hmm. where Congress's comprehensive regulatory scheme effectively establishes a federal domain.
Yep.
And then we have this interesting interplay with express preemption under the ADA, which the court ultimately didn't rely on in its decision.
Absolutely. And it's a fantastic illustration of the complexities inherent in our system of federalism. the constant need to balance the powers and responsibilities between the federal government and the individual states.
Right.
Just think back to our earlier hypothetical scenario of 50 different states, each having their own unique training requirements for airline crews serving alcohol.
Yeah, the chaos.
The potential for inefficiency, confusion among airline staff, and even increased safety risks really underscores the practical necessity for the federal government to maintain a strong and consistent regulatory hand in this critical area.
And the fact that the Tenth Circuit decided to remand the case for a balancing test is also a very significant takeaway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us that legal conflicts aren't always clear-cut, right? Often, courts are required to carefully weigh competing interests and make nuanced, fact-dependent decisions rather than issuing broad, sweeping pronouncements of law.
Exactly. It's a crucial reminder that the law is often about finding the appropriate equilibrium between different levels of government and their respective constitutional powers and legitimate interests. It's messy sometimes.
So, to bring our deep dive to a close, this case truly encapsulates that fundamental tension within our legal system.
Yeah.
The ongoing balance between the federal government's essential authority in areas like aviation and the state's traditional powers, especially when it comes to something as historically and locally regulated as, well, booze.
And the key takeaway for you, our listener, is hopefully a deeper understanding of how courts analyze these complex preemption issues, particularly when a significant state interest protected by an amendment like the 21st is involved.
Yeah.
It highlights that while federal law often holds a position of supremacy, states retain important powers that necessitate careful consideration and a balancing of interests in specific legal disputes.
On that note, here's a final point to consider. Given the court's decision to send the U.S. Airways v. O'Donnell case back for this balancing test, what specific factors do you believe the district court should prioritize and weigh most heavily when trying to reconcile New Mexico's interest in regulating alcohol within its borders with the overarching federal interest in ensuring the safety and uniformity of our national airspace?
Good question.
It's a multifaceted question and one that really gets to the core of this fascinating legal intersection we've explored today. Thanks for diving deep with us.